One of the things I thought we'd do tonight is have Eric and Christy play a few songs. So they played at the advance, and it was really pretty. So if you'd grace us with a few numbers, a couple anyway, see how it goes.
Hi.
Which one?
You're with me
or love never fails.
Do it, just figure it out.
I can't remember the only thing that I was saying. Alright, we'll do this and I'll speak up for Nietzsche. If you're feeling a little discouraged and it looks like nothing is turned out right, don't give up, stay put on God's word, claim His promises with all your might. Satan would have you to think that your life is nothing but trials and travails. Remember, a merry heart does good like a medicine, and God's love never fails. So be ready to receive. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So be anxious for nothing. Pray and be thankful, and to God make known your request. Love never fails. Love never fails. Perfect love casts out fear. Love never fails. Love never fails. Just stay your mind, and you will find that God will see your way clear. So forget all those things that are behind, and reach forward to those things before. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. What else is there to live for? Be persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Love never fails. Love never fails. Just stay. A perfect love casts out fear. Just stay. see your way clear. He loves you so, you can always go to
First Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4. You know, the fear that's in the world today is big. But when God's love is present, the fear and the restlessness that are in the world is paralyzed. They can't do anything. And you see it all the time. A lot of people in the world believe there's a higher power, but very, very few, accept God's love for them. Now, most people don't accept that God loves them and really loves them, and that God loves to manifest himself to people who have a desire to know. Most people in this world, Christian, non-Christian, are raised to be selfish. It's all about me, you know, what I have, what I don't have, what I need. But when you get into the selfish state of life, it's a very bad road to cross. It's basically sin, because you're taking your eyes off of God and you're putting it on yourself. And it can even be idolatrous. You're putting yourself above God. So, in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says in verse 8, "And above all these things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Above all things, have fervent charity. 1 Peter 4:8. Fervent means to stretch out, to reach out, to never stop. I love that. Mm-hmm. Above all things, have this fervent, this thing that stretches out, reaches out, never stops. What? Mm-hmm. Charity. Love of God. This love of God reaches for miles and miles and miles. Right? Yeah. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. I would say that almost everybody in here needs a tremendous amount of covering, except for Aneda, because it's her birthday. You don't need any covering at all.
I don't.
But God wants us to have fervent love. Fervent love amongst the believers. One thing last week, to me, it was so inspiring. It was to, you know, do a better job at being more loving. That was one of my goals going in. That I wanted to be more tender. I wanted to be more loving. I just want to be more loving and I want to be more tender. And if you really want something that's according to God's word, you'll get to be that way. But nobody can really ever manifest God's love without accepting God's love to them, which a lot of Christians have trouble with because they condemn themselves so much. Christian religion many times teaches that you're never good enough. It's not good enough, you know. They teach sin. They teach what's wrong. Instead of God's tender forgiveness, his loving kindness, his grace, his favor, his heart. And that's something that I'm blessed that I saw in a big way this past week. God's heart. God's tender loving care, his forgiveness amongst people. One of the biggest healings that I saw during the week amongst many were, I don't know why, but they had allowed the adversary to condemn them and they were accepting it and buying his BS. But God's word and God's love broke through that with many people. to where they weren't they weren't condemning themselves. So the way we keep loving is by keep believing His word. Go to Matthew 23. And once we accept God's love for us, then we can truly love other people. Matthew 22. You know, it's like in the Word it says, how are you going to take care of the household if your own house isn't in order? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so thankful that my house is in order. My house is in order. Mm-hmm. And it's not like military order. It's in order. Mm-hmm. Me and Diane get along. We work through things. We have Tim and Hannah living here now, and they've just been nothing but a blessing. And it's in order. And that's nice, because if it isn't, then you always feel a little uncomfortable. At least I do. Chapter 22 of Matthew, verse 37, it says something. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love... Yeah, what's the great commandment of the law, was the question in the verse before. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second's like it. You love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the whole law. Well, now there's a lot of info in there. My conclusion from this information is, as well as in other Gospels, where it's a similar thing asked of Jesus Christ, we're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. What else is there? Nothing. It's everything. God wants everything. He's a jealous God. He wants our heart. He wants our mind. He wants our soul. He wants our strength. And why wouldn't we want to give that to someone who's perfect? I'm not perfect, and you might even love me, you know, which is crazy, isn't it, in a way? But God has never disappointed anybody. He's never disappointed anybody. Men don't love themselves because they don't believe what God's word says about them. The reason people don't love themselves, and we need to love ourselves, because we can't really love our neighbor unless we love ourselves. Not in a braggadocious way, not in a conceited way, but in a way that God's word says, you know, that's the best way. We need to believe who we are in Christ and what God has given us. Go to Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. Well, I love how people complain. You know, in the winter they say they're too cold. In the summer they say they're too hot. Well, what do you expect? Summertime's supposed to be hot. And it's hot. So quit complaining. 13. Verse. Now, Tim and Hannah have a legitimate complaint. Because they're confused, basically, in their life. They live in the basement here.
The bunker.
Mm-hmm. And it's 22 degrees below zero down there. And it's summer. Mm-hmm. So it makes no sense. If they were here in the winter, maybe a little sense. Summer, no sense. They'll get over it. A new commandment, verse 34. And that ought to get your attention, because there's a heck of a lot of commandments in the Old Testament. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Well, man, Jesus Christ gave his life, right? We ought to love one another like he loved us. And then it says, and this is a biggie, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now look, I don't want people to come to fellowship at all because you grab them and bring them. I would like to see that because of God's love that you manifest, people would have a desire to want to be around you. I want to be around people that are loving and kind. And, you know, most of us need a lot of that, I would think. So many times when people come to our fellowships or even come to our house, they're kind of blown away because of what's present. God's peace is here. God's love is here. It's a safe house. There's safety in this place. And the reason it is because who lives here and what they manifest and how they are If there was tremendous turmoil in our home, it would show as soon as you walk in a door. And it doesn't matter what kind of furnishings or great furnishings or not great furnishings. What lives there? What's present? Is God's love present? Boy, that's what turns people on to God and His Word. If any of us ever walked in the full limits of the love of God, we'd probably never have to ask for anything. It'd just be there. Yeah. There's no selfishness in love. Love is giving. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's the greatest extension. That's the greatest gift anybody could ever give. And He gave His only begotten Son to who? People like you and me, who are dead in trespasses and sins, without God, without hope in this world. That's what the Word says. And God gave. It says God is love. I'm probably getting ahead of myself. I don't care. It's nothing new. But we see it in God's Word before we can believe it. We look and see what God's Word says about stuff, and we believe what God's Word says about stuff. And He certainly says a lot about love. Yeah, and people who hear God's Word, they see it in God's Word, but they refuse to believe it because they think everything else works except love. People believe in deceit, in force, in cruelty, intrigue, philosophy, bitterness, anger, lying, bitterness, I said that, sarcasm. You know, very few believe that God's love works. Well, it does. Last week was a tremendous extension of that. Again, to see the love of God manifested without anybody prodding them up their butt. They just love. You are like that. You just love because you see it in God's Word. You've seen it manifested. You wanted that. And so that's how you became, because you wanted to. Loving, kind, forgiving, all that stuff. Ephesians 4:15. It says, but speaking the truth in love. You can speak the truth, but in love. So that you can grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking God's truth in love brings about tremendous healing. It brings about tremendous wholeness. It brings about tremendous answers. Everything. It just, God's love never faileth. Just like this beautiful girl saying, we should always speak the truth, but it should always be in love. Ephesians 4, verse 16. Or 3:16, rather. Which is a tremendous prayer in the book of Ephesians. It says that He would grant you, verse 14 says, I bow my knees unto the Father. So He's praying that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts or saturate in your hearts by believing faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in your knowledge. No! Rooted and grounded in how clever you are. No. In love. Rooted and grounded. You know, you see these beautiful trees, man, that grow real tall. I'm from California, and you know, you got these redwoods that are like 9,000 feet tall. Their root system's amazing. It must go to, I don't know, Alaska. I don't know where it goes. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about trees, but I know they have a tremendous root system if they're going to be great. And God's Word says that His prayer was that people, believers, the faithful in Christ Jesus, could be rooted and grounded in love. Man, oh man. And that they could be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, the length, and depth, and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Why? That you could be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, now, that's something. What a prayer. That we could know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. It's a figure of speech. That ye might be filled. with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all things, you know, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God's word, Paul, by revelation, wrote this, that we could be able to do exceeding abundantly above everything we could ask or think. How about that? How about that for a wonderful thing to reach out at? Your senses say no. God's word says yes. What you gonna do, man? The senses just gets you in trouble. What a prayer. To know the love of Christ. God yearns for his children to accept his word as being true. He yearns for his children to come for him, to come to him and ask him for things, to love him, to manifest his power. That's what he wants us to do. 1 Corinthians 13. We'll just read it. Anita, since you're a birthday person today.
I can't even.
Can you read?
I can.
Well, either you can't even or you can. What's the matter with you?
I can't even with you, but I can read the verse.
Verses 1 through 3, please.
Chapter 13?
Yeah, what we're teaching on love tonight, Anita. Come
first,
on.
1 Corinthians 13, verse 1.
Whoa. Come on, Captain, get with it here.
Uh-oh.
Right? That's what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, I have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing.
So what good would all those things do without the love of God? Look at what it says. Mm-hmm. I'm a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If you spoke in tongues, what good would it do if you didn't do it with love? Mm-hmm. If you could prophesy, understand all mysteries. Man, that'd be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
All knowledge and know I have all believing, all faith. So you could remove a mountain and didn't have the love of God? It says, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, you could be the world's greatest philanthropist, the world's greatest giver, but without the love of God, it says, it profiteth me nothing. That's something, man. He's bestowed upon every single one of us his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, and his love, and his goodness. And he's extended it all towards us, not because he has to, but because he's wanted to. He's not looking for a Robert De Niro performance. He wants us to come to him because we love him. And why wouldn't we? What has he ever done bad to you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4, it says, charity suffereth long. It's kind. Charity's kind. Charity envieth not. Now that's a big thing in the world, envying. Vaunteth not not itself. That's a big thing in the world too. It's not puffed up. Not Mr. Smart or Miss Smart. It doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. You don't get mad all the time, every minute of every day. Thinketh no evil. It doesn't come to the conclusion of evil. Boy, if you steward your minds properly, if we steward our minds properly, what a great life it is. Even when things are rough, you know, or even when there's things that are challenging, you know. And Diana and Maria and I were at a hospital yesterday for hours and hours with Bob Chatton. And it was just such a loving, fun time, expecting great things and enjoying our lives. You can enjoy your life even when there's pressure. You can smile even when there's pressure. You can be blessed even when there's pressure. You can love even when there's pressure. You can forgive even when there's pressure. You can be tender even when there's pressure. When there's pressure, that's when to pour it on, man. And when there isn't pressure, that's when to pour it on, man, also. It's nicer without it, but we live in a crazy world. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, it rejoices in truth. The love of God beareth all things concerning the truth, believeth all things concerning the truth, hopeth all things concerning the truth, endureth all things concerning the truth. The love of God never faileth. Man, oh man, oh man. Then it goes, prophecies that fail, all those things. The love of God never, ever fails. It might look like it does sometimes, but it doesn't. It just never, ever fails. 1 John 4. 1 John 4. If you're around the Word and you're around believers like we were this past week, it's hard to slap the smile off your face. It was just such an enjoyable time. Chapter 4. Yeah. Verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." This is like a repeat of what Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of John. It's something. Love one another. Love is of God. It says to do it. It's not asking you to. And whenever we're told or exhorted to do something, we either do it or we don't do it. If you wanted to keep your job and you work for somebody and they told you to do something, if you wanted to keep your job, you'd do it. Even if you didn't like what he said. But let's think about God. God tells us here, "Beloved, let us love one another." That's not a question mark. He said, "Let us love one another." Well, if we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we would want to do that. And I think that everybody, when they're sober in their brain and they're thinking, knows that they'd even like to do it. So it's a request given to his children that we should all enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. Loving each other. Why? Because love's of God, it says. And everybody that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not doesn't really know God, because God is love. Isn't that interesting? And if we really love, we're going to be forgiving. If we really love, we're going to, it's good not to have a good memory. Mm-hmm. I hear people talk, believers talk about somebody did something to somebody and somebody did something to them and they got so hurt. And I'm like, give me a break. Give me a break. God forgave me. I can forgive others. And, I try to do what God does. He throws them out. He casts our sins as far as the east is from the west, and he doesn't remember them anymore. Well, why do you want to remember your sin? Or why do you want to remember the sins of other people? It's a new day, man. It's a new moment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a new moment. Every day is a new day. Every second's a new day. There was these believers in Georgia when I lived there. They wrote a song together. It was a collaboration between a husband and a wife. It was a beautiful song. It went like this. In fellowship, out of fellowship, in fellowship, out of fellowship, in fellowship, out of fellowship. And it went on.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. And so there is verse 8. He that knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us. Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God. And again, I've said it 1,000 times. Whoop-de-doo if you say you love God. Why wouldn't you love God? Why wouldn't you love someone that's always right, that always tells the truth, that always tries to help? Now, would you like a girlfriend like that? Eric? Sure you would. I mean, when you want a wife like that, a husband like that, a child like that, I think we would. I think we really, really would. That's great. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation or the payment in full for all our sins. He paid for it. Forget about it. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we ought to love each other. It's a big deal that God loved us, so we ought to love each other. And maybe you don't go play tennis with that person every day. You know what I mean? Maybe you'd rather play tennis with Pam. I would love to see Pam on a tennis court, actually. Pam versus Bob Chapman. Pammy and Dean. Oh, yeah. Did I ever tell you that tennis is my racket? If he so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man seen God at any time. You got to think about that one a little bit. They saw somebody else. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Well, you know, you never learn to walk until you start walking, right? Those of us that have had children, it's such a cool, weird process. You know, they start crawling, they fall, and they crawl, and then they reach for a table, and they try to get up, and they fall, and they get up. They don't stop trying, though, do they? In order to walk with God, you got to start walking, Jack. I mean, you know. It's like a kid. He doesn't stop. He doesn't give up. And as a parent, if your kid fell down, you didn't slap him in the face and say, "What the hell's the matter with you? Get up and do the dishes." No. Not. What about our Heavenly Father, who loves a lot bigger than a dad or a mom loves any child? It's something. This kid doesn't give up. He keeps going. And that's how it is walking in love. You start. And love is giving. It's always giving out. And it becomes perfected in us as we keep walking in it. And as we keep walking in it, we get better at it. Look at verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Oh, look at this one. There is no fear in love. Wherever and whenever we have fear, we can't believe that particular part of God's word. Wherever and whenever we have fear, we can't believe that section of the word. That's something. What verse was I in? What is it? Yeah, no fear in love. So, when love is present, fear is eradicated. A That's got to go. You can't love and be afraid at the same time. Because when you're love, when you're being loving and walking in the love of God, fear gets out. Because perfect love, look at it, casts out all fear. It casts it out. It gets rid of it. Why? Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in what?
Love.
Boy. The love of God always and absolutely gets rid of fear. There's so many different types of fears. There's fear of failing. There's fear of what other people think. There's sudden fear. There's that fear that you don't think you're good enough. All of it's a bunch of junk. Verse 19. Again, we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, strongly dislikes him, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how in the heck is he going to love God who he's never seen? And this is commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. The fruit of God's love should be that we love each other. You know, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is love. That's the first thing mentioned. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, and all that. Love. So when people see us, they should see love. If they don't, it's either because we're not manifesting love or they just have their head screwed up. And if the fruit of the love of God is that we love each other, then that has to manifest itself in tremendous forgiveness and tremendous heart and all this stuff, you know. We bless each other. How about that? How about we pray for each other? Like, I never met this man, Paul, but ever since Hannah and Tim told me about meeting him, I pray for him every day, especially today because I knew he was going to come tonight. I'm not putting him on the spot. It's just how, that's an extension of God's love. That's what we do. That's what we do. It's what we want to do. It should be what we want to do. What could you do better with your life than pray for somebody? I don't know. Nothing. Maybe pray for yourself. Well, okay. And we share God's word with each other. What a great thing to do. Even when you're screwing around, it's always got to be the word. Yeah. God's word says he's delivered us, so we ought to walk forth in that deliverance. We ought to say, yeah, I am. I'm delivered. And delivered doesn't mean you lose a liver. Romans 8. All right. Yeah, it's cheap jokes. Hey, people that used to do fellow laborers, you know, they would do it for like 3 or 4 years in a row. And I'm sure I told the same story over and over again. Because I forget who's in it, who isn't, when they're... And I'm sure they're just like, okay. Check. Let's go. Anyway, chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now all kinds of condemnation to them that are... No, it doesn't say that. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So if there isn't any, why do you want to condemn yourself? Boy, that's one of the biggest tricks of the adversary. It's one of the things that holds believers back almost as much as anything else is condemnation, condemnation. You get preached sin into you all the time. So then you're just going to have to sin. I don't know. Colossians 1. One thing I'm not held by is what other people think of me. I tell you that. Maria had quite an education yesterday. I guess it was that. Now, I'd be curious to find out what she learned. Verse 13 says, "Who hath delivered or rescued us from the power of darkness?" Can you imagine such a thing? Rescued from the power of darkness. Who's the adversary? Satan, the devil, poohead, whatever you want to call him. From the power of darkness, and hath translated us with his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the what? Forgiveness of sins. It's a right that we have. You don't have to go into a booth, some spooky booth, and talk to some spooky person, and then lie to him, but say that you sinned. It's so ridiculous. You never tell those guys the truth. And then, say three Hail Marys. Hail Mary? I could say three Hail Jerrys. That'd be fun.
At least you're alive.
Yeah, at least I'm alive. Yeah, well, okay. Well, then, beautiful, Camille. That was beautiful. 2 Corinthians 5. Yeah. No, really, you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
Of course you do. How many in here were Roman Catholic at one time? Yeah, that's a lot. You know, there's a whole lot that you have to claim to be delivered from that particular thing. But all of religion basically is about works. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that. Oh, man. I'd quit and go smoke a blunt. And, I'm not going to live that way, man. And I don't need to fool people into believing God. If people want to believe God, they can. And if they don't, then they don't have to. We love people. That's what we do. We love people into loving. We forgive people into forgiving. You know, and we tenderize people into being tender. It's the greatest joy I have in my life is to watch people grow in God's Word. It's so fun to watch people go, hey, look at this guy here, Eric. Unbelievable man. What a man. I've got to see his growth since he's very young. And it's been just an awesome picture. It's like a beautiful movie that is just great and getting greater all the time. Chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things passed away, behold, all things become new. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 30, it says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. And look at what God made to us. Look what God made manifest to us. 130. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Us who? This book is written to Christians, to believers. Wisdom. Who would have ever thought I'd have any wisdom concerning anything in this life whatsoever? Wisdom means what to do. What to do. What to do. He's made unto you and me as believers wisdom. Wow. Righteousness. The ability to stand before God without any sense of sin, guilt, condemnation, anxiety, any of that stuff. Sanctification. It means you're set apart. That's he's made us that way. And redemption. Man, oh man. That's quite some promises there. Romans 8. Romans 8, verses 35. Who shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. No. In all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded, and to be persuaded means you're persuaded. There's not any inkling of one iota of a doubt. You're persuaded. You're sold out. that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's 17 things mentioned that are negative. And of all those things, none of those things could ever, 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 ever separate us from the love that God has to us. We should see ourselves the way God sees us. And the more we see ourselves the way God sees us, the more we'll see others the way God sees them. And that's a good way to see people. If we look at believers the right way, that's the right way to do it. 1 John 5. First John chapter 5. This thing's poking me in the throat. I'm like, it's a shield of believing. Chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that's begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God." That's how we know. When we love God and we keep his commandments. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." We love God because God loved us. And it paints and portrays just the most incredible picture when people walk within the framework of the love of God. If God could paint a picture of how much he thinks of you, he'd use every single color of the rainbow, every hue. And if God wrote a poem to tell how great he knows you are, it would stretch from sky to sky, and it would reach the highest star. If he wrote you a love song entitled "What You Mean to Me," it would be an everlasting song in godly harmony. But our God did far better than a verse of song for you. He outpainted any picture using every single hue. When he chose you to be his child and placed you in his hands as an integral part of the body of Christ, a vital part of his masterful plan. Father, thank you so much for your great love. Thanks for including us in that plan. Thanks, Father, that we can manifest your love in a great way, to the end that it impacts everywhere we go, everybody we see, everybody we talk to. And that we can just look, Father, through your eyes, when we look at others and we look at situations, that we can see things the way you see them, and so that we can accept your help and your love. I pray, Father, for each and every person here tonight, for our healthy bodies and for our minds to be sound. Pray, Father, for this and a wonderful night. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen.